I want to start this morning with a quote from Alice in Wonderland, the famous Alice in Wonderland story by Lewis Carroll. "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" Alice asked the Cheshire Cat. To which the cat responded, "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to." And Alice said, "I don't much care where." And the Cheshire Cat says, "Then it doesn't matter which way you go." I don't much care where. It doesn't matter where, which way you go. Ephesians 5:17. "Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is." The last few weeks, we've been talking about some of the foundational truths, some of the core values on which we build here at Northlands. And in this season of transition, in the season of change, these are the things that are not going to change. Things need to change because it's a different season. Each season looks different, even in the natural. But these are things that are core to the foundation of this house. And so this morning, I want to address the core value of what we call governing to the prophetic, putting action to His direction. When we first started Northlands, the Lord said to us, "I want you to be a church who trembles at my word. I want you to be a church who trembles at my word." And so we start every elders and deacon meeting with reviewing what God has said to us. We ask our leaders ahead of time, "Would you wait on the Lord and see what He has to say to us?" And we keep records of that. Isaiah 66:2 says, "Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being? These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word." Now, maybe you're sitting here and you think, "I've never seen governing to the prophetic. I've never seen that scripture." Well, it's not a scripture verse, but it means taking the word of God seriously, taking His direction seriously. Let me tell you a story. So many years ago, when we were fairly newlywed, we still feel newlywed, but there you go. We led a mission school in the church, really, where we were discipled in, an amazing church. But this role required that we live with the students in a big house on a beautiful property. And about 6 months into this, we really felt like the Lord was saying it was time for us to get our own space, for which I was most grateful. The grace had run out, but we were thankful that we had been called to that space. It was a wonderful season in our life. And so we were in the car and we prayed together on the way to church, and we said, "Lord, we need to hear from You. We don't want to just make a move on what we're feeling. Would You speak to us?" And so that Sunday, I've kept feeling like the Lord said, go to Isaiah 32. And at the same time, Greg felt the Holy Spirit was to him, verse 18. And so we kind of said, "Are you hearing any from God?" We had to make a decision. And so we turned to Isaiah 32:18, and it says, "My people will dwell in peaceable habitations, in safe dwellings, and in quiet resting places." It was no longer a quiet resting place for us. But we took this as a confirmation from the Lord because we wanted to be in step with what He was saying to us. And to continue leading this mission school, we needed to stay with the students. And the next week that we went, it was a very large church. It was three stories high and, excuse me. On the other side of the building was the pastoral staff and all the administration offices. And I remember looking out across there, and I felt like the Lord said, "I want you to be part of that staff. I'm calling you to be there." And it didn't make sense at the time. I didn't see how it would work because we had sought counsel on this. And we were told, if you resign from this position, you're probably not going to get another position in this church. But we did resign. And shortly after that, we accepted a position. We were offered a position on the pastoral staff, which we knew was from the Lord. And here's the thing, we did know where we were supposed to be, and God made us a way for us to be in that place. When we moved to the United States 25 years ago, we knew God had spoken, and because we knew he had called us to plant a church in Atlanta, we could make the step of faith. Again, it did not make sense in the natural to come and plant a church in the Bible Belt, to leave what was good at the time, to leave family and friends. It didn't make sense, but we knew God had called us to do this. And so we put action to his direction. And so I love this phrase. It kind of puts such a clear definition to me. The phrase means to govern to the prophetic. What does it mean to tremble at his word? So to govern means to influence, right? Government influences, or to control the way something happens. And so the prophetic is simply hearing from God and then doing what he's telling us to do. It's not complicated. It's putting action to his direction. And so I just wanted to tell you these stories to really just demonstrate the importance of making every effort to hear from heaven and then executing our lives according to that direction. Because I think that's what it looks like when we are a people who tremble at his word. And the beauty of it is he promises that we will hear his voice. But here's the thing, we have to listen for it. We have to say, God, I'm going to give attention to your voice. And we have to believe that he is a God who speaks. He speaks today. He speaks through his word, his living word, sharper than a double-edged sword. He speaks in dreams and visions. He speaks to us through one another. And I understand that not every leadership functions like that, and that's okay. Not every leadership will necessarily wait on God for a prophetic word. I'm not saying they don't hear from God, but every church must do what God's called them to do. But for us, it's a core value. For us, it's a core value just to honor the prophetic and to live our lives according to what we believe he's saying. And so when we talk about governing to the prophetic, we're saying we want to influence our church according to God's direction. So what does it look like in the context of Northlands Church? I want to take you a little bit behind the scenes. Like this is number three, I think, in our catch-up series, because God has spoken different things over the years, but there was a prophetic word 12 years ago that said, I want you to catch up. Church, I want you to catch up. And so I feel like God's given us this time to catch up with some foundational truths. So I want to talk about the what, the why, the who, and the how. Really just telling you, this is how it works here. So we are a leadership. Let's talk about the what. We are a leadership who are deliberate in waiting on God and hearing his voice as best as we know how. And now I understand the scripture says we prophesy in part. I know that. So we're not always going to hear every single thing that he's saying. But there is a mandate from heaven to listen to his voice. I do believe that. And then we want to lead the church according to God's direction. I'm going to give you some examples, predominantly foundational ones. There are also seasonal words, which I'm going to talk very specifically to a seasonal word right now that Pastor Armando spoke a little bit earlier about. But one of the key words over Northlands has been, this is a place where warriors come to drink. And you've probably heard that before if you've been here a while. And people leading ministries and organizations will often find themselves here. And I believe it's partly because that's what God has called us to do. And I just want to say to you, we love and honor what God has called you to do. We really do. Well done. Well done for your yes to him. And we want this to be a place where you can come and be refreshed as a leader. But ours is to shepherd your heart. Ours is not to control your ministry. That's important to know that. We love what God's called you to do, but we can't apply everybody's vision to what God has called us to do. But we do believe this is a place where you can just come and be refreshed so that you can go and do what God has called you to do. Ours is to shepherd your heart, not to control your ministry. 25 years ago, when we started meeting in a little hotel up the road, and we moved to the Hilton Hotel. We had, these words actually came in the first hotel that we met in. Two different people came who are not connected to each other, and they both gave us words that God's calling you to be an oasis. And then we received more words about an oasis, which was so interesting. And shortly after that, God led us to a deeper understanding of his amazing grace. And I believe the two are so closely linked, because we cannot be functioning and believing the beautiful grace of God and find refreshing. Legalism does not refresh us. His amazing grace does. And I believe it's only when we embrace his grace, his forgiveness of sin, that our true identity is found in him. When we believe that we are now sons and daughters of the King of Kings. We are no longer sinners saved by grace. We were sinners, and then we were saved by his amazing grace. Amen. Yeah. And that's why we unapologetically preach grace. Grace teaches us to say no to sin. It absolutely does. When we see what Jesus did for us, we want to run to him, not away from him. But in an environment of his grace, we will find rest. It will be an oasis to us. One of our life verses is Isaiah 49:8. This is what the Lord says, "In the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore and to reassign its desolate inheritances." I believe that we have an anointing. We absolutely have a passion, but I believe God's given us an anointing to minister restoration and to reassign callings that the enemy's tried to steal for whatever reason. And we want Northlands to be a place where you can function in all your strengths and all your giftings and what God has placed on your life. And when I was praying about this morning, I felt that maybe there were some people here that this has been something that you needed to hear. That maybe you had a time when you were really seeing God move and you felt like you were just in the sweet spot of where God has you. And then maybe there was discouragement or something happened or you took a little detour in faith. But I feel like God wants to speak a word of restoration over you. Don't give up on what God's called you to do. There's always redemption in him. There's always a time to reassign and to restore what has been taken. And so I just want to speak restoration over you. You don't have to wait another year or 6 months or however long. Step into who God has called you to be. Recently, we had a number of words about a season of joy and fun. And I want to speak specifically to that later on because I feel like it really is key to where we are right now. But now let's have a look at the why. When we lead a church according to the word of the Lord, it keeps us on course. This is really important. It keeps us on course in times of pressure when there are other good ideas. And may I say, we love good ideas. We really do. Really, we do. We've always said we have an open door. But the decisions have to be filtered through the direction of what God's calling us to be and what he's called us to do. It protects us from being swayed by this teaching and that, and there are many other teachings. A few weeks ago, Tyler talked about structural integrity, and I wanted to bring that definition up again because I feel like it really aligns with this word of governing to the prophetic. The ability for a structure to withstand its intended load without experiencing failure, deformation, or collapse. It's the structure's capacity to maintain its shape, resist stress, handle external forces while continuing to function as designed. Governing to the prophetic allows us to maintain structural integrity, being integrous to what God's called us to be. We maintain our shape, our mission, and we stay strong and we stay on track when pressure comes. And pressure will come. I think God's okay with some pressure coming because it makes us figure out what do we believe, what do we know is core. 1 Timothy 1:18, "Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you might fight the battle well." A word from God is a war club in our hand. Wow. Yeah. Let's go to James 1:6. "Being undecided," I'm going to read from verse 7, "makes you become like the rough seas, driven and tossed by the wind. You're up one minute and tossed down the next. When you are half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord in that condition? It's not that he doesn't want to give it. We just won't see it. It's such a high value for us as a church to hear from God and to have these weapons of his words when accusation comes, when temptation comes, when cultural pressure comes. His direction keeps us from wavering. It keeps us from becoming unstable, especially in stormy seasons. And we know he has good works and good direction for this lampstand called Northlands Church. And we want to stay in step with that. I want to say to you, church, this applies to you and me individually too. I think that's where the catch-up part comes. This is not just for how we govern, and that's what we're talking about predominantly this morning, but this is for you and me as individuals as well. See, we are passionate about the prophetic because when we know who God says we are, that is a weapon in your hand. That's what we wage war with. When the enemy brings accusation, when you think, well, I'm not chosen, I disqualify, except Ephesians 1 says you are chosen. The word of God says we do qualify. Do not let anyone disqualify you. I have to have the weapons of his words in my spirit. See, we're not wavering and unsettled then, but we stand firm in our identity as sons and daughters of the King. See, governing to the prophetic applies to our personal lives as well. Knowing the word of the Lord allows forward momentum. It prevents stagnancy. We don't have to copy others. What is good in one part of the vineyard might not be the kind of grapes God's developing in this part of the vineyard. The kingdom of God is very diverse, and we love that about the kingdom. That's why we honor what God is doing in our city and in our nation, in multiple different denominations and churches. Praise God for every single one. But each one has to figure out, what is God calling you to do in your particular part of the vineyard? Because what's good for them might not be good for us, and vice versa. Governing to the prophetic allows Holy Spirit risk. Last week, Greg talked about the valuable imbalance of being led by the Holy Spirit. And I think governing to the prophetic allows the word of God to spur us on to take risks and to create what might look very imbalanced sometime to the outside. In other words, sometimes God's going to call you to do something or nudge you in a way that people around you are going to think, I'm not sure that that's a good idea. What are you doing? Everything looks great now. Why are you doing what you're doing? But you know that you've heard from God. So it will seem like imbalance, but it's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. At Northlands here, we've taken risks. We've taken risks in starting new ministries. We've taken risks in going to different nations. We've taken risks in giving generously. And we will continue to do all those things because we believe God spoke to us to do that. So when the Lord says, I want you to give this amount to this ministry or this person, we're like, yes, sir. We're governing to the prophetic in that moment. Starting this church was a risk. And even on the hardest days, there's never been one single day that we've doubted. Not one. In times when there were whispers about, I wonder if you should keep going, I wonder, we were like, no, but God, you said. It anchored us. It enabled us to stay stable when maybe in the natural things didn't look stable. We waged war with what we believe God had spoken. Let's talk about the who. Who makes these governing decisions? How does it all work? We believe in the context of a local church, it's the responsibility of the senior leader and the leadership team. Because we value teamwork here. We really do. There's a protection in working as a team. But we hear from God. We hold the vision in front of the people. We hear from other trusted prophetic voices. Because there's wisdom in the counsel of many. In the context of a family, as a parent, I want to say to you, parents, you have governing authority in your home. God's given you that. What is God saying over your children? How can you lead them according to who God says they are? Get words for your children. If this is new to you, it was new to us too. We all start somewhere. But I want to say to you, start today. Get with people that you trust. Wait on God for your children. I've waged war many times on behalf of my family. I've taken words God's spoken over my children, over my grandchildren, over Greg and I, and I've said, but God, you said. And I want to encourage you to do the same. And sometimes it's going to feel like you're standing alone. Sometimes it's not going to make sense. It's going to seem imbalanced. I want to encourage you to get words for yourself. Ask people that you trust. Many of you are sitting here today. I know who you are. You've made life-changing decisions as God's called you to foster children, to adopt children. You've heard from heaven, and you've put action to his direction, and God has blessed you and increased your family through adoption. That's just one example. Some of you have started businesses. You've left places, and you've started new things because you have felt the leading of the Holy Spirit in that way. So next time the enemy wants to come and discourage you, you pull out the promises that God's spoken. Yeah. You encourage yourself in the Lord with the weapons against his lies, against the discouragement that the enemy would try and bring. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We will hear his voice, and he will say, I want you to walk this way. Isaiah 48:17, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. He has a way that's best for you. He has a way that's best for us as a church. Let's talk about the how. Some practical application. See, seasonal direction from God will impact what is preached here. Many times we will go through a sermon series because we believe this is how God is leading us. This is what's best for us in this time. Themes for our women's Bible study, Empower, are decided with much prayer, asking God, what do you want for the woman in this season? That's really important. And I absolutely love the testimonies that come on the other side of that, because we believe God has got something particular on his heart for that season. Some of you, thank you for leading your journey groups. You've waited on God. What is best for this journey group and in this time? We've had many words about this being a resource church, and we've responded to that word by creating resources, gathering resources. If you go to the resource center, which is that way, if you haven't been before, there's the journey map on there, and that has got many different resources. Some that we've put up there, many that we've just taken from resources that are in line with what God's called us to do. But that journey map is being used by other churches. It's being used in different nations because we stepped into a place where the Lord said, I want you to be a resource church. And now we get to resource not just ourselves, but others as well. It was a way that we could put action to his direction. We believe God has called us prophetically to impact both our neighbors and our nation. Neighbors and other nations as well. And many of you have contributed financially to Uganda. We were able to partner together as a church and create resources of his grace to take to Uganda. And thousands of people have been impacted by the gospel of grace, transformed families, churches, individuals. I wish I had more time to tell you just some of the incredible testimonies that have come from that country because you partnered with us. Thank you for that. Thank you for resourcing a nation. We've taken teams to Thailand, to the Global World Without Orphans Forum, where we've been able to encourage leaders from around the world. Thank you to those that came with us. We're able to encourage leaders in Denmark. We work with the Nordic Prophetic Network, and we're able to just be kind of a wind beneath their wings, helping them, encouraging them, hearing from God with them. God's called us to impact nations. He's also called us to impact our neighbors, our nation, and our neighboring community right here. One of our key ministries is FAM, Family Advocacy Ministry. FAM serves vulnerable families, foster families, adoptive families, just providing various ways of caring for these families that are laying their lives down to care for children. This ministry is beyond the walls of Northlands. I love that. We get to encourage and support people in our community. Thank you for being a part of that team. During the summer, we were able to take 150 snack bags to children entering foster care. That was one of the biggest needs, immediate needs, for these precious children that needed to be put into a safe place. Thank you for your contribution to that. It's not nothing. These are big deals. It's another opportunity to minister the love of God to our community. These are just a few examples of how Northlands is being governed to the prophetic, how we're putting action to his direction to impact nations and neighbors. See, prophetic clarity gives us such clarity. It gives us strength. It gives us a confidence in what we're doing. It also prevents mission drift. We do this, we don't do that. It helps us identify seasons. Oh God, that's the season that you have us in right now. It helps us recognize mantles. You know, I see God's called you to that. The Lord wants to put that mantle back on your shoulders. He wants to encourage you again to step into who he says you are. It keeps us in step with Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk about a seasonal word. We've had a number of words of fun and joy, and I love this family night we had. That was in a response to these words. Let me share just a few of them. I saw the Lord whispering in the ear of the congregation, and people just started laughing. Maybe some of you need to laugh again. I saw people laughing. You hadn't laughed in years. I felt like God is returning joy to people at Northlands. That means there are people here that need a restoration of joy. I saw Northlands as a water park. I feel like we are stepping into a season in which people will have fun with the Lord. Everyone who says yes to what he's doing here will be able to partake in the fun, the miracles, the healings, the breakthroughs that he's creating. I felt like the Lord is saying we're going into a season this year of celebration and joy and happiness. We're going to have much to celebrate. The season of joy and fun is a time for my people to find their joy in the freedom I paid for. You might be sitting here and thinking, that's great, but why now? This doesn't feel like a season of fun for me. The scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the joy of the season, not the way my circumstances look. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so he knows that right now we need strength. And so he says, pursue joy. Hebrews 1:9, you've loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God your God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Pastor Armando spoke about oil. You said you felt like the Lord's showing you oil here. And I thought, well, that's interesting. There's an anointing of the oil of joy. Even this morning, I feel like there's an anointing of the oil of joy to heal, to restore, to give hope again. I'm sure you're familiar with the saying, like water off a duck's back. I want you to find a picture of a duck with the droplets on their feathers. But a duck's feathers are waterproof because the outer layer is covered with this oil coating. And so you'll see the little droplets form, but they don't permeate the feathers. I believe the anointing of the oil of joy acts as a protective layer. It's a protective layer against fear, against confusion, against depression and heaviness, against unbelief, wrong thinking, or anything the enemy wants to throw at you. I don't think we can be experiencing the joy of the Lord and experiencing heaviness at the same time. It doesn't take away the circumstances that we're sitting in. God is very aware of every single hard place that we sit in. I think there's a supernatural joy that can come in the middle of those places. It's not a happiness. It's not a celebrating what is when God wants to move us into a new space of healing and breakthrough. But there's an anointing of joy that comes that protects us. That's why God says pursue joy. We can experience the joy of the Lord. We can experience the Holy Spirit, that laughter that he brings that just refreshes our souls. What happens, I want to pivot a little bit and talk about, because this is important for us personally and also as a church. What happens when we don't recognize or govern to the prophetic? What happens when we choose not to turn our ear to his voice? I believe we become like Alice in Wonderland. We don't really go anywhere significant. We don't really go anywhere on purpose because we're not firmly grasping the will of the Lord. So it doesn't really matter where we go, right? We don't have any firm convictions on anything. We'll go with whatever's comfortable or what's more acceptable or won't offend anybody. Without a sense of direction, we will hold on to what's familiar. And we will never take a Holy Spirit risk. There are many of you who have taken some Holy Spirit risks. Maybe there are some of you here today that need to. You will never regret taking a Holy Spirit risk. Because you're being led by the Father. When we don't govern to the prophetic, we will not have a vision for the future. And so we will not move into new seasons. Isaiah 43:19, look, I'm doing a new thing. Don't you recognize it? I'm making a way in the desert, paths in the wilderness. He says, look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it sprouts up. God is doing a new thing here. He's leading us into a beautiful new season. Seasons must change. And we've been talking about what is foundational to Northland's church. Governing to the prophetic is foundational, and that will not change. But you don't stop building when the foundation's set. Nobody admires a beautiful foundation, but you need a beautiful foundation. You need a strong foundation. But then comes the time we have to start building the walls. Our mission statement is, we build churches that transform lives by experiencing grace and the Holy Spirit. That's not changing. But the focus God's calling us to is to build healthy people, healthy families, healthy churches, healthy homes. May we be a people who see what God is building and align ourselves with him, because that's where we will experience the blessing. The blessing is when we're in alignment with the Spirit of God. Now, I know and you know any change in our life brings various emotions, and that's normal, and I dare say very healthy. Because we all wonder, God, what are you saying to me in this space? What does it look like for me? What is it going to look like in the future? Those are good things. But we're not denying that. But where there's no vision, the people perish. We cannot stay in one season. This is Proverbs 29:18 in the Message. If people cannot see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. When they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. May we be a church who attends to what God reveals. And may we be families and individuals and sons and daughters who attend to what our Father is revealing to us personally in our homes. We must honor the past, and I believe we do, and we have, but we must also see the future. We're not living in the past, and we're not living in the future. We thank God for the present, because each space is beautiful, but we must see the future. We must have an idea of where we need to be going, because the kingdom of God is an ever-advancing kingdom. He's always on the move. This is Jeremiah 29:11. I want to read this, and I'm going to ask Hannah to come up to the keys. I know all about the marvelous destiny I have in store for you, a future planned out in detail. My intention is not to harm you, but to surround you with peace and prosperity and to give you a beautiful future glistening with hope. I believe peace comes when we settled in who God says we are and what space he's calling us into. This is what I want to do now. I want to make this personal because that's the key part of this catch-up. I want to just take a few minutes. I'm going to ask Hannah to, just to play in the background. This is what I want us to do. And if this is new to you, would you just take a little Holy Spirit risk here? I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to picture Jesus just looking at you. He's a relational God. He loves you. And he wants to take a moment with you. And now I want to ask, would you ask him just to tell you how he sees you? What does he see when he looks at you? He's got good things to say to you. Would you ask him to maybe give you a word? Maybe he wants to give you a picture for yourself, maybe for your spouse, one of your children. Say, Holy Spirit, would you give me a word of encouragement? Would you give me an anchor to hold on to? Because he promises that we will hear his voice. I feel like for some of you, he wants to talk to you about maybe a mantle that you've laid down or a ministry that maybe you feel disqualified, and the Lord says, no, I've qualified you. I've chosen you. He wants to speak a word of restoration over you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you love to speak to us. Lord, you long to invite us into a place where our lives are governed by your word. Lord, would you settle us in the things that you've spoken so personally to us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. I cannot encourage you more to take time this week. This, do what we just did now, in your time with the Lord. I want to encourage you, I really do. Would you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you personally about your future, about you personally, about your children? And if you've never received a prophetic word, we have a ministry team every Sunday. Maybe you just want to say, would you just pray for me? Because they would love to give you a word of encouragement. They're not going to give you a directional word of exactly what you must do. You need to hear that from God for yourself. But they would love to give you a word of encouragement, an anchor about who God says you are, something to hold on to. When the pressure comes, when the accusation comes, when the enemy wants to lie to you about who you are, I believe God wants to give you weapons of war in your hand, war clubs in your hand, because he has good things to say to us. See, governing to the prophetic is a foundational value for us, but it's also for you and me personally. And this whole series was a response, like I said earlier, to the prophetic word 12 years ago that God's giving us time to catch up. This is not just for the leaders. This is for each and every one of us. We want to be a church all together who tremble at his word, who are settled in who God says we are and what he's called us to. See, both in our personal lives and in the life of the church, our Father wants to speak about a beautiful future that he's planned out in detail for us. He is not confused and he's not wondering about what he has for you. He knows what he has for you, but he wants you to give ear to the Spirit of God to hear, because we are called to be people who live on purpose. We are called to be those who put action to his direction, and it's always good. Amen. Amen. Yeah.